on a preface thing. I thank God for women. You know, of all his creation and the majesty of it all, you know, at the pinnacle of it all, I can say he nailed it with women. And you say, why am I saying all? I'm not trying to get brownie points with anybody. I live with women. That's all I've lived with my whole life. I haven't even had a male pet. It's been all females. But I was thinking about the word that we were talking about a couple weeks ago and the qualities of it and honoring mothers, and there's some great grandmothers here and grandmothers and mothers, and I don't know why they made the word grandmother and then great grandmother. I mean, they use some pretty cool words. But in a manner of speaking, all of you have these qualities, and you mother somebody, even if it wasn't physically. You have the opportunity to minister and pour into someone's life in a nurturing way, which makes you a mother. And I'm just really thankful to God for women. And I don't think that as men, we express our appreciation enough. We expect a lot, but we don't always express our appreciation. So I just want to say, thank you, Lord, for women. So Heavenly Father, we just give you this time. I don't have a clue what you want me to say, but I know you will say something to each person willing to listen to you. So I pray for open ears, ears that hear you, God. And I thank you for that, and I pray that you would get glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen. So a few weeks ago, I started a teaching. I call it a teaching, though I don't like, quote, teaching. I like rambling. I'm being honest. I do. You know, give me a subject, let's talk. And let's see where the Lord takes us. Where teaching has to do this systematic building and stuff. And preaching's cool, too. You can just feel the anointing and you can just go, right? Get excited. People jump on pews and all those sorts of things. And people think it's cool. And they say amen. And they shout. That's cool. Teaching can be really, reminds me of college. I just wanted to sneak out the door. You know, get droning. But there's a purpose in, I believe, what the Lord has instructed us in his word. And I think so often we set it aside and just live. And especially today, you think of mothers and you watch them with their children and they set these boundaries and they give them these instructions. Why? Not to control them, but so that they can live. And they can live free and enjoy life, right? And avoid harm. God has laid out all these things for us so we can live, and we can live abundantly. And we don't have to wait till we get to heaven. We can do that now. So I think it's important that we teach the Word of God and get an understanding. We've been talking about kingdom for a while now, and we talked a lot about it from a vertical standpoint, and we've talked about how we should look at ourselves, and now we're kind of broadening that out and say, how are we to look at one another? How are we to treat one another? How are we going to get this right so the world sees we're actually not of this world, and we have something to offer that they need? So I looked at this passage. It's in Colossians 3:12. It says, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. And we talked about clothing yourself, not so much as I was sitting there thinking about that, because I talked about get dressed. How many remember that? We all come clothed, right? And But it's not so much. See, he tells us to put on these things, right? Doesn't ever tell us to take them off. So it's really not so much about getting dressed or putting it on. It's about being it. So we're really talking about these things are our identity towards God, towards ourselves, towards one another. This is who he is, therefore this is who we are. See, there's plenty of things he tells us to put off. And I would advise us to listen. Because they're most of the things that we struggle with, even though we are and supposedly were dead to it. They were all things that went to the grave, didn't come out. So he tells us things to put off. But all these things he tells us to put on, it's a one-time occurrence. Put them on, they're always on. They are who you are. So this verse means a lot more to me than just getting dressed. It's really talking about my destiny, my identity in Jesus, and who Jesus is in me. So that's where we're at. So last time we talked about clothing ourselves and we talked about compassion. Now, I'm a pretty humble person. I don't mind saying it. No false humility here. But I was telling Dan, you feel kindness today? I was like, no. We're going to talk about kindness. And I've been thinking about this all week. Last Sunday, I had to work. So I missed the filling of this place with several different churches and the joyous celebration that I'm sure it was. And I've had a lot of opportunity over the last 2 weeks, every day, to show kindness. And I can say I had a lot of opportunity every day to show kindness. Just leave it there. Thank God for opportunity. And so then I was looking back at my life. I wasn't like the kindest little kid or adolescent or young adult. We're adult. I'm thinking I'm a grandfather. No, I'm not really. Kindness hasn't been how I've identified myself. But yet kindness is who is in me. Right? So there's something I have to get straight if I can't identify myself with kindness. There's like too much of me and not enough of him. Okay? So, say all that, get into kindness. You ready to get into kindness? I can squint or I can do this because I didn't put on my multifocal stuff. Yeah, you have those multifocal things that no matter where you look, you can't see good. Yeah. Or you have to do this. Because you get the right spot and you can't move your eyes from it. So it's like, nah. So kindness. What does the Bible say about kindness? Being kind. The word used in the Bible is Christotis. Christotis. It actually means usefulness. Moral excellence in character or demeanor can be interpreted as gentleness, goodness, or kindness. Root word of it, Christos, means employed. That was interesting. By implication, useful in manner or morals. can be interpreted better, easy, good, gracious, or kind. Root word of that, proomahi. Middle voice of a primary verb, perhaps rather from to handle or to furnish what is needed. To act toward one in a given manner. King James Version just means entreat or use. So all these have some activity or action towards it. Kindness, if it isn't an action, if it's not expressed, if it's not received. You know, I can treat myself kindly. What am I doing? Treating myself. There's an activity. There's something going on. There's an exchange. General definitions, the quality of being friendly, generous, and considerate. So I wrote down a few other things, just because I thought they were cool. Kindness is a behavior marked by ethical characteristics, a pleasant disposition, and concern for others. In 2009, there was a study that warned, and I think this is cool, real kindness changes people in the doing of it, often in unpredictable ways. Real kindness is an exchange with essentially unpredictable consequences. And I thought, that's really cool. You ask, why is it cool? Things change when you do it. So who's kindness really for? Because my reading of that says, kindness is for me. Why? Because I change when I express kindness. You might receive it, but it affects me physically, emotionally, spiritually, as we'll see. So kindness is who you are. And it's for your benefit. So I did a quick Google search. And I don't ever do this. Some of you all amaze me on this thing. Okay? Sure, because I'm like, right? And have we got work? He doesn't even have to look. I don't get it. They're not big enough to do that. I hit this and I hit four letters. Amazing. Anyways, so I did my whole Google search. I was like, what's it do to you? This act or behavior that you give out of yourself towards someone. It boosts serotonin and dopamine, which gives feelings of satisfaction and well-being, and causes the pleasure center in the brain to light up. Don't know how they know that, but I guess they know that. I'll take them at the written word. It decreases anxiety. I think this is cool. What you get? It increases your connection with others. So if you wondering why you're depressed or sitting alone and no one's coming to talk to you, maybe I have a solution that you might want to try. Get off your butt, go approach somebody with kindness and see if it changes you. That's really helpful advice. Because everything I read says it will change you. See, God's really cool. He's given us instructions to live for our benefit. It's hard to blame him when we don't follow his instructions. See, I know there's the thought that God just controls everything and we're puppets on a string, but you know what? God created you and he wants to be the passenger in the car. He's along for the ride. He wants you to live your life. Why? Because it thrills him. And we'll see a little shortly that the instructions he's given us, when we follow them, it pleases him. So as much as they're for us and we receive the benefit, he's glorified. Okay, follow me. Job 6:14. The verses up there? They're not there. Oh. Well, I can't read it this way then. Okay. Anyone who withholds kindness from a friend forsakes the fear of the Almighty. I just thought this was an interesting verse, so I threw it in there last minute. I would say that's pretty clear that we have an obligation to be who God's called us to be. And truly, if we're maintaining proper relationship with the Lord, kindness is a result. Otherwise, we're forsaking this. So you have to look at everything the Bible says from a relational standpoint, or you're going to miss it. Because this isn't saying God's up there waiting to like spank you. A lot of people read the Bible that way. Okay? God's not mad at you. God loves you, and he's laid out everything for you to live an abundant life now. But when we withhold that which he's called us to be, it strains this. It actually pulls me away from it. Instead of me looking towards it, see, if I look towards God, I can only give you what God has given me. When I approach you without looking to God, I don't know what you get. But most likely not what you need. See, we forsake something. But kindness is a big deal. Some people seems more natural. Some people fake it really well. Serious. Some people fake it really well. I don't. Some people just don't. I mean, that can't. All these things, I have to rest in the Lord. I have to rest in the Lord. I have to partake of his compassion to be compassionate. I have to partake of his kindness to be kind. I have to rest in the Lord. Some of you might be blessed with different abilities. I'm at the other spectrum. Without him, can't do anything. But thank God what he does in one's life. See, it's nice to be able to look in the mirror and say, I have hope in him. Therefore, I have hope in what I see. But without him, I don't have hope. Jeremiah 9:23, this is what the Lord says. Let not the wise man boast of his wisdom, or the strong man boast of his strength, or the rich man boast of his riches. But let him who boast about this, that he understands and knows me. For I am the Lord who exercises kindness, justice, and righteousness on earth. For in these I delight, declares the Lord. Awesome verse. He exercises, and we get kindness. Drop a sweat, joy unspeakable. He might, I don't know. Who says he can't? How much can God lift? He exercises kindness towards us. Therefore, we should exercise kindness towards ourselves and towards others. And I was thinking about that because it says, in this I delight. So, God, his joy, his delight is showing forth or exercising these attributes. How much more delight when his children exercise those attributes? Now, I've had children that done things, and now I got grandchildren that do things. It is way cooler. Way more pleasing to see my children and my children's children do things. Way more joy. See? I just took it as affirmation. Don't even know what it was saying. He delights in his children. There's a verse in Romans that says that we're to present ourselves, present our bodies as a living sacrifice, pleasing unto the Lord. You want to be pleasing unto the Lord? Exercise kindness. Now, I think it's amazing when people do this, mainly because it isn't natural to me. But I have a mother-in-law that's here, and I have a mother that's up north. And I've never found anybody that didn't love them. Really. Ever. And everybody that's ever met them, they're like, Mom. I'm like, you have your own mom. Your own mother-in-law. It's stranger, just met them, and they're like calling up Mom. And it doesn't matter what's thrown at them, what situation, nothing. Doesn't even, if it's conflict, isn't it? They're like, kind. Just exudes out of them. Always drove me nuts. You need to. Really? It's just, wouldn't you do better just strangling them? Kindness. You know, and they just had this ability. And you know what? It made everybody want to go to them. They were welcoming. They were inviting. It changed the environment. That's you wherever you go. Because that's him who's in you. And it's to his delight when you let him out. So you're a vessel full for his good pleasure. They write songs about this. One dry little kindness, just show a little kindness. Just shine your light for everyone to see, right? And if you try a little kindness, you'll overlook the blindness of the narrow-minded people, which there are a lot of. Right? There's another song? That's an old song. Yeah. That this young man just happens to know. Try it. Try it in the most difficult circumstances. Try it. I've done it before. Not even purposeful. Had to be God. Conflict, right? And they're just upset, and they're letting their upset out. And I usually, in my life, confronted conflict being louder than the loud. You know, meet force with a little greater force. And I remember I had this guy so upset because everything he said, my response was kind. Even keeled, non-emotional. Finally, he just threw up his, there's no point in arguing with you. Can't argue with somebody who won't argue. Yeah, you can. And everything just changed. He was able to calm down. He was able to express himself rationally, able to have a good discussion. And trust me, for me, that's only God. Rest in him. Be kind. To his delight. Romans 2:4. I think this is pretty cool. Or do you show contempt for the riches of his kindness, tolerance and patience, not realizing that God's kindness leads you toward repentance? I want to touch on this because I want you to understand the benefits of his instructions. Okay? You have to understand the benefits of instructions. Why? So you'll willingly follow the instruction. Right? Because often we just think we know better than God. We profess he's Lord and Savior, but you know, we really mean he's Savior and we're Lord. Or we're ignorant. It's the only two conclusions I have. Either we're going to do what he tells us to do because he's Lord. We don't do what he tells us to do or has instructed us to do because he's not Lord. Or we're just really not aware of the things he's told us to do. There's only a couple possible things, right? So I think, you know, a lot of times we just like to be Lord of our lives. But see, it's his kindness that leads us to think how he thinks. Because really, repentance isn't about, you know, not doing wrong stuff anymore. Repentance is thinking the way the kingdom of God thinks. That's repentance. I was having a discussion with somebody, and I just need to repent. I said, didn't you do it the first time? Yeah, I repented. Okay, so you changed the way you thought. Now you're going this way along the kingdom of God, and you're going to repent and what, go back to what you were doing? Repentance is returning to the mind of Christ. It is continually having your mind renewed. Why? So you know what his good, perfect, pleasing will is. And it is kindness that leads you there. You want to lead somebody towards repentance? You want to lead somebody towards seeing their life turned around? Try a little kindness. Who benefits? They do. Their life's turned around. You do. It changes you. He's glorified. I thought that verse was cool. There's so many benefits from following his instructions on living. Romans 11:22. Consider, therefore, the kindness and sternness of God. Sternness to those who fell. Not you. You're here and you think God's just waiting to punish you. wrong thinking. Get back to God's thinking. Okay? Do you hear me? Your behavior will stem from your thinking. That's why he writes and tells us how to think. But kindness to you, provided that you continue, rest back into him in his kindness. Keep him, Lord. Don't try to do it yourself. Rest in who he is, and out of you will come wellsprings of life. Almost done. I don't even know what time it is because that thing's like not on. What time is it? Huh? Oh, I'm doing really good. Praise the Lord. Ephesians 2:6, and God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed to us in Christ Jesus. Expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. Now, his kindness leads us to repentance, right? His kindness required that he send his only begotten Son We're all here today because God expressed his kindness towards you. If you've received that, you have an obligation to let that out of you. You have to express that which you're already overflowing with. It is who he is, therefore it's who you are. If you believe it, you'll let it out. If you don't, you won't. Titus 3:4. But when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. When the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, he saved us. See, kindness brought salvation. Do you realize what you possess? All those that are going out, do you realize what you possess? Do you realize what you are to somebody? Do you realize what you're offering? You have life to give people. And there's no way of separating kindness and love. All these attributes that we're talking about are bound together by love. So you have this foundation of love, which who God is, and all these characteristics and attributes that go along with it that now you possess. Why? Because the love of God is in you to the full. You are overflowing with who he is in you. There is no shortage of supply in you. We should be oozing out kindness because that's who he is. And if that's who he is, that's who you are in him. And what's it do? It saves. It heals, it restores, it renews, it reconciles, it brings those that are lost back into relationship. It maintains this. Kindness.
last verse.
There's so much more. You can't even begin to scratch the surface. See what I read here. Oh, here's another good. Kindness, goodwill, benevolence, that temper or disposition which delights in contributing to the happiness of others, which is exercised cheerfully in gratifying their wishes, supplying their wants, or alleviating their distresses. Kindness always accompanies love. And we have this instruction, and I'm going to close with this. You can stand. Ephesians 4:32. You have that up there? Ephesians 4:32. It says, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving just as in Christ God forgave you. So we have, in the word kindness is the full gospel of Christ. It's the best way I can say it. Do you understand the verse that we read, what's accompanied with this? Forgiveness, repentance, salvation. The full gospel of Christ is in the word kindness. When you release kindness, releasing Jesus Christ. That's what's in you. That's what you're clothed with. That's what's never taken off, because it's become who you are in Him, because it's who He is in you. Amen. So Heavenly Father, I thank you for your kindness. And I thank you, you have an abundant, never-ending supply. And I thank you that for some, the light bulb is just coming on. For others, something's bubbling up to make us want to apply with the things you've given us, Lord. You've given us an abundance of resources, great treasures in heaven to just let out. So, Father, I bless your people. I thank you that you speak and they hear. I thank you that all these instructions you gave us is for our benefit. And in so doing, as we take them and live them, we please you. Father, that's our heart, that we would please you in our lives. So, Father, continue to open your word to us. Continue to show us your word. Continue to open our hearts, Lord, towards you, toward ourselves, more so towards one another, so they'll see the love we have for one another, and they will be changed. In Jesus' name, amen.